Open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4. Have you ever read your Bible and you came across a passage and you thought, wow, that's different? I know I've read that, but I don't remember having read that. I'm preaching tonight on a passage that I know I've read dozens and dozens of times, but it convicted me because I thought, man, I must have just skipped over it. You ever do that? You're reading through your Bible and you stop and think, did I read this page yet? Where am I? You know, sometimes we just go through the motions, don't we? It's like a checklist off of our chores to do. But the story, it's when Jesus is telling parables. And it follows in Mark's gospel, the parable of the sower. Now, if you've been in church any time at all, you have heard dozens of sermons on the parable of the sower. The sower is a picture of the soul winner. He's a farmer who goes out into the field and he sows his seed. And Jesus tells us some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and picked up the seed, and it didn't bring any fruit at all. Others, the farmer sowed his seed, and the seed fell in stony ground, and the plant began to grow, but because of the stones, there wasn't any depth of earth. And so when the sun got hot, the plant withered up, and there was no fruit. The other one, he threw the seed among the weeds, among the thorns, and the weeds, the plant began to grow, but the weeds choked it out. And so there's no fruit. And then some of the seed fell in the good ground, and it brought forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And so we've preached on that passage, and we've heard sermons on that passage. And it's a wonderful, wonderful parable teaching us that we need to be faithful serving God, and we have to watch out that we're well-grounded and we're not among things, the cares of the world that would choke us. But then we come to another passage, and as transparent as I can be, I never noticed it till a few months ago. I'm going to read it to you tonight, and then I'm going to preach on it. So if you have your Bibles open to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and you're able to, stand with me, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 26. Now understand, this is right after the parable of the sower. It says, "And he said, so the kingdom of God is if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless the preaching tonight. I pray that it'd be helpful to all of us. God, we have seen a great harvest in the last couple of days, and we're so thankful for that. Lord, I pray that you'd help us realize our responsibility as sowers of the Word of God. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. All right, if you know anything about farming or gardening, you know there's preparation before you sow the seed. You have to prepare the ground. The soil is cultivated, and then you make the furrows, the plow or whatever farm equipment you have that make the furrows, and then the seed is planted. And you have to, if you don't live in a place where you get enough rain, you have to make preparations to water the irrigation. And so all this is taken care of. And once it begins to grow, I remember my grandfather had a garden, They owned 3 acres, and about 2 acres was garden. Nothing but corn and beans and tomatoes. They grew peas. Can you imagine that? I'm with you, brother. I mean, you've never told me this, but I got from the testimony, you don't like peas. The only thing I like less than peas is lima beans. Lima beans are peas on steroids. Yeah. But when the crop begins to grow, there's a process. You have to weed the garden. I can remember going out with the hoe and weeding the corn, and it was no fun at all, but I enjoyed the product. So taken for granted in this story, because he does get a crop, all of the preparations were made. And the farmer goes and he plants his garden. And then he goes to bed and he sleeps. He doesn't worry, is it going to grow? He doesn't pull up a lawn chair and sit and watch, wonder if it's going to grow. He has done what he can do. And so he says, the rest is up to God. And one day he comes out and he sees a little blade is poked through the ground. Now he expected that. That's why he planted the seed, but he honestly doesn't know how did the seed germinate. How does this little seed put a little blade up? He didn't know how it happened. He expects it, but he didn't have anything to do with it. He prepared the ground. He made sure the weeds were gone. He was in charge of watering it so that it didn't dry out. But he didn't make that come up. And a few weeks later, it's a stalk. And he's smiling. He's saying, everything's going good. What did he do? Prepared the ground. Planted the seed. Took care of the things that might harm the crop. But he didn't make it grow. He can't make it grow. He doesn't have the ability. Not only does he not have the ability, he doesn't even understand how it happens. This is his job, but he has no idea. Pretty soon, it's a full stalk of corn, and there are ears, and he pulls the husk down a little, and he looks, and it's ripe. And he harvests the corn. What an amazing story. And anybody who knows anything about gardens or farming goes, well, duh. Of course. But understand, Jesus is giving this parable to a group of people who understand farming. They know exactly what he's talking about. So what's the point? The point is, as he's already taught us, that we are to sow the seed. We're to do what we can do. We're to make the preparations this weekend. Y'all did a great job of making preparations. You had the day when the Bibles are passed out. You've been passing out flyers. I saw one of those. By the way, that is an amazing picture on those flyers. Pastor texted me yesterday and he said, we've had a great response on those flyers, mainly from single women over 70. I don't know why I come here. But the workers were lined up for the nursery. God bless you. I love nursery workers. They are my favorite people in the church. Nursery workers don't get enough credit. I mean, they make it possible for the preacher to preach. I mean, no matter who the preacher is, he's not as cute as the babies. And so when the babies start to make their baby noises, everyone goes. And when they start to cry, everyone goes. And when they cause a commotion, everyone goes, but when they're in the nursery, we don't care. They can be cute. They can cause commotion. They can cry. They can do other things. And the nursery workers take care of all of that. Thank you. But preparations were made. You can't have 21 kids in the nursery and two nursery workers. So preparations were made. Preparations were made for all of the good stuff out there. I got caught in the bounce house. But all of that, there was preparation made. There were visits made to bus routes. There were cheeseburgers grilled and hot dogs prepared. And all of that took a lot of work. We could do that. We invited people. And they came. Thank God the place was packed with people that were visitors. I was introduced to at least 15 people. Somebody said, this is my mom. This is my coworker. This is my friend. And every time I acted like, great. I didn't know you. I didn't know you had a friend. But it was a wonderful time. And then, thank God, just in this room, 9 people got saved. You know why they got saved? Because the music was a blessing to their hearts. They got saved because people had been praying for a long time that God would do a work. They got saved because Pastor told me that we're having friends and family Sunday, so preach a gospel message. So I preached a message explaining how to get saved. We all had a part, but let me tell you, God made the plants grow. God did that. I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. The farmer can't make that blade begin to grow. But if the farmer doesn't do his job, there's no blade. There's no stalk. There's no ear. Let me remind you that in life, there are lots of things that you and I are supposed to do. We're supposed to get saved. Help me out. We're supposed to get saved. I mean, it's been a while since I've been here, but I gotta teach you the ground rules. The more amens I get, the shorter the sermon. Okay, there you go. Because otherwise I have to stop and do this with you, right? And so... I forgot where I was now. I got to go. I'm going back to the beginning. This is a terrible place to visit. But God wants us to get saved. But we got saved because somebody prayed for us and somebody gave us the gospel. And somebody cared enough to lead us to Christ. And now we want people saved. And so the question is, do we care enough to pray for them? Do we care enough to invite them? Do we care enough to present the gospel to them? You know, I've had people tell me, well, you know, I just don't want to drive them away. They're going to hell. How far are you going to drive them? I'm not talking about being obnoxious or belligerent, but if you genuinely care about somebody, what's the memory verse? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We have our part. God has his part. And by the way, the farmer, if he's done it long enough, he has an idea when he's going to see fruits from his labor. He has an idea how long until the plant begins to grow, but he doesn't know. He doesn't know how many of the seeds will germinate. He doesn't know how fruitful his crop is going to be. All he knows is I'm doing the best I can, and I'll let God do the rest. You know, sometimes in this matter of people getting saved, we've done what we can do. We don't know what's going to happen. I remember when I first got saved, God called me to preach, and I went to college to prepare for ministry, and it reminded me, I was reminded, my parents need to know the Lord. So I learned how to be a soul winner, and I came home, and on the way home from the airport, I said, Mom, Dad, I want to tell you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. My mom goes, stop. We don't want to hear it. You're not coming home and cramming your religion down our throats. You can do whatever you want to do, but we don't want any part of it. Just be quiet. I said, I'm not trying to cram religion down your throat. I just want to tell you how you can know you're going to heaven. My dad said, you heard her. We don't want to hear it. If you think you're going to preach to us, you're wrong. We'll turn around and take you back to the airport. We don't want to hear it. And I thought, man, why wouldn't somebody want to get saved? Why wouldn't somebody want to know for sure they're going to heaven? But they did not want to hear it. For 4 years, I tried to witness to them. For 4 years, I tried to convince them that they needed to be saved. And for 4 years, they were quiet. We don't want to hear it. Graduated. Karen and I got married, and we wrote our entire wedding ceremony because I knew my parents would be coming, and put the gospel in there. They didn't get saved. The man who led me to the Lord asked me if I would preach the evening service at his church. And I said, man, I'd be honored. And I got my parents. I said, look, you may never have the chance again. I want you to come. I want you to hear me preach. And they agreed. They'd never been to church in my entire life. And they came. And they sat way in the back. I said, they're already Baptists. They sat way in the back. But, you know, I preached a simple gospel message as best I knew how. I gave the invitation and nothing happened. We're in the car on the way home. I wanted to see if I could, work on what they had heard. I said, I'm so glad you came to church. My mom said, you're awful loud. And my dad said, I didn't know it was going to be that long. I would never come. And I thought, they are not going to get saved. But I kept praying. And every chance I had, I kept witnessing. God gave us a son. We'd call my parents on Sunday nights, and Jeremiah would get on the phone. He's the only grandchild in the family at the time. He'd get on the phone, and he was my dad's little buddy. And he'd say, hi, Grandpa. Oh, Jeremiah. He goes, what'd you do today? Oh, not much. Why? What'd you do? I went to Sunday school. Did you go to Sunday school? No. Grandpa, don't you love Jesus? Here's your grandma. And they would never get saved. They would never get saved. For 17 years, I prayed for them. I begged them to get saved. And they never got that much closer. They never got nothing. Nothing. I thought, man, Lord, I've seen so many people saved in my ministry, and hearts are tender, but my mom and dad, they're just not saved. We were visiting them. We were on vacation. We visited them. And I always get up early. My mom said, I didn't sleep very well last night. I said, how come? She goes, you know why. I said, Mom, I don't know. She said, Hal, am I a Christian? I said, Mom, I don't know if you are or not, but I can get my Bible and show you. She said, would you? Man, I ran in the bedroom. I got my Bible, sat down on the couch. I was crying. My mom was crying. Went through the plan of salvation, knelt down. My mom got saved. My dad's still asleep. She runs in the bedroom. She shook the bed and goes, hey, I just got saved. My dad goes, oh, no. Less than 2 months later, my dad got saved. Let me tell you what happened. I prepared the ground as best I knew how. I sowed the seed every time I had a chance. I pulled the weeds. But I couldn't save them. And without me even, what else could I do? I went to bed. And without me knowing, there was a full stalk of corn with two ears on it. God did that. Here's what I'm trying to get across to you tonight, folks. There's lots of things that we can do, but there's some things we can't do. And God will do them if we do what we're supposed to. If we'll do our part. It works that way, not just in soul winning. It works that way in raising your children. You know, the Bible is very clear on how to raise our kids, to have them have a heart for God. But honestly, I've lived long enough. I've seen it. There are children that grow up in homes where mom and dad love the Lord and do the best they can. And sometimes the kids turn away. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to do right. And it breaks the parents' heart. So what do? You keep on sowing the seed. You keep on watering the plant. You keep on pulling the weeds. Because you can't change the heart of a wayward child. But God can. You can't bring those who are away back to God. But God can. And so we just keep being faithful. We just keep doing right. We just keep planting and watering and pulling the weeds, and we trust that God will do His part. Works that way at church. Man, what a wonderful thing it was when the place was packed this morning and probably packed last week for Easter and folks were saved. And that's a great thing, but you know, it's not going to keep happening if we don't keep doing what we did. If we don't keep witnessing, if we don't keep being a testimony, what a blessing it was. I heard three or four people say, we work together. You know, it's hard to be a Christian at work. You're surrounded by knuckleheads, but you still have a testimony. You can still be a blessing. Amen. Years ago, after my folks were saved, I got a birthday card from my parents. You know, parents always say the same thing in a birthday card to their grown children. We love you. We appreciate you. You still owe us that money you borrowed. But down at the bottom, my mom had written, thank you so much for not only showing us, or not only telling us, but for showing us how to be a Christian. I couldn't make them change their mind, but God could do it. I'm trying to encourage you tonight, folks. Well, let's do our part and let God do His part. But if you miss a few things, if you don't sow the seed, you're not going to get a crop. And if you don't water the seed that's been planted, you don't get a crop. And if you allow the weeds to overwhelm what was planted and begin to grow, you're not going to get a crop. So you and I have to determine, with God's help, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to do what God would have me to do. Sometimes it's hard to live for God. Sometimes it's hard to do right. Sometimes you feel like the Lone Ranger. But you just keep doing right. Because although we have nothing to do with it, one of these days you're going to see a wonderful crop. And the Bible says you'll come with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for the Word of God. I thank you for such a simple story, and I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to recognize there is much that we can do and much we ought to do, But God, you're the one who's in control. And so I pray, dear Lord, I don't know the burdens, I don't know the hearts, I don't know the prayer requests, but Lord, I do know that I have a God that can do anything. I pray you'd help us tonight, dear Lord, to do our part. Keep your eyes closed. I want to ask you a couple questions. How many of you would say, I have somebody in my life that I'm burdened about, concerned about, and they need to get saved? They don't know the Lord, and I want them to get saved. Pray for me that I would do the things I need to do, that I wouldn't be a hindrance, that I would sow and water and pull the weeds. Pray for me. There's somebody I'm burdened about. If that's your desire, raise your hand, and I'll see it, and I'll pray for you. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Some of you, maybe you'll say, they know better, but they've gone away. They've left what they know to be right. And I want you to pray for me. Pray that I would keep faithful praying for them and faithful being the testimony that I need to be and I want to be. Pray for me that I would be a help and not a hindrance in them coming back to God. If you'd let me pray for you, raise your hand and hold it high. Yeah, see, there's so much going on in our hearts. You can put your hands down. Let's stand together. There are many other areas, but undoubtedly God is speaking. I'm going to pray for you. And when I finish my prayer, I would encourage you. You'll hear the music play. Just step out, make your way. If you need to get saved, pastor's here. Somebody's been praying for you for a long time. I promise if you're not saved, come and let pastor know I want to get saved. Father, bless the hands that were raised, the lives that are represented, the unsaved people, the wayward loved ones. God, help us to do what we can do so that you are able to do, that we not hinder what you want to do in the lives. In Jesus' name, amen.